What shall for me?
God be with you, brother.
That thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Brother Ralph Steele, the Lord be with you, Brother Ralph.
First, I would just like to say good evening to each of you, and surely good to be able to come this way, to be blessed to come this way, and to be here at Happy Creek again, and just come hoping and praying that the Lord might be in the matter, and knowing full well that He's promised that when we come and assemble ourselves together in His name, that He's promised to be in our midst. Again, appreciate the benefits, blessings, and so forth of this life, and the privilege of coming and being here with you here at this meeting. Hate to come and see Brother Gary not feeling real well, and hope and pray that I know about aching arms and all those things, and hope and pray that all would be well with him. Never ready for this. Don't know where to start. So many thoughts, so many things pass through my mind. And I've heard so much, and the gospel is so good. But still, even through and by all of that, there's always comes doubt. Always comes doubt. You know as well as I know that a man is without God with him. He's in pretty sad state of affairs.
He's
pretty bad shape. I know, and I believe that man could even be taught. And we know, and we'll find record of many places in the scriptures that statements were made, and sometimes in the presence of our Lord and Savior, that I thought sounded like good statements, good words, words that the Lord would have been pleased with. And on quite a number of occasions, we're informed through His Word that He said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Does that thought, do you ever end up back there? You know, I've said this before, and I get fussed at for saying I've said this before, but I've said many things before, and I hope and pray that I just be allowed to keep on saying a lot of them. But I've said this before. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary in my stead. But you know, in the back of my mind there, can I still not be taught to just say that and it not be real and not be true? Is it possible that I fall in love with the church building, the meetings, the other brethren, the members, more so than the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Am I just playing church? Am I serious? Am I serious about? And you know, as I look at the scriptures and as I read the scriptures in so many places, and the scriptures teaches me and tells me about the will of God. It tells me about things that God is pleased with. And as I go down through and I read these things, I fail. I fail mightily in so many places of things that I know and I have been taught, and that God's word tells us that God's not pleased with. God's not pleased with. You know, we're troubled in this world as we hear talk. And you know, probably the most troubled ones in this world are ones that I hope and pray are ones that Christ has revealed himself to, and that they have a desire to worship and to praise him. But do we do it? Do we do it in a way, in a manner that he's pleased with? Or are we just, you know, I've heard this statement, and I made it one time before, and I got really got took to the cleaners over it. Are we just Sunday morning Christians? Are we every day? Do we every day stand up and speak boldly when and where and when we ought of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You know, I don't. I know I don't. And so many times, I know I've skipped. When there was a time and a place that I should have spoken of my Lord and Savior and for what he did for me, that I failed to do that. You know, I've been in the church for 25 years, and I still am I just doing it for the fun of it? Is I just doing it because I enjoy it? Is it real? Has the Lord really revealed himself to me? Is my heart been changed? Am I really, truly, honestly serious about that which the Lord did in my stead? Do I love him? Do I love him like I should love him for what he did for me? So oftentimes I know that he would not be pleased. You know, I spent a lot of time looking through the scriptures and down through the years and down through mankind. And those that God dealt with and called out of darkness and that he used mightily throughout his scriptures, we'll find so often that they, just like we do today, they failed or were not able. And you know, I understand and fully know and understand why the Lord Jesus Christ had to come and do what he did. Because I positively am not capable, was not capable, and never would have been capable. And even now, I feel to fail so mightily. Even though, as I said, I believe that the Lord died for me at Calvary, that he cast my sins as far away as the east is from the west. But I still find myself at times going back and wondering, is it really the way it should be? You know, we and I know I have been so concerned, and we've constantly, every time we meet, we see the numbers going down in our churches in our meetings that we come together. Concerns me greatly. I say, you know, I don't know. Again, is this my fault? Is this our fault?
Yeah,
is it because we've hid the church? Is it because we think we've got something so good that we don't want? You know, I've even heard sometimes from the pulpit in the old church that they didn't want this word to go out to hear someone else. I tell you, if there's anything that excites me when we come together in the congregation, that's to see strange faces. I love to see the same ones and wish that the same ones was here that was here the first time they ever come. But I love to see strangers in the crowd. I love to see people. The church will never be added to and grow from inside, or let's back up and I'll say something different there. And I believe there is a place that we have failed mightily. And I don't mind saying so. And I played my part in it. I did not bring my children to church. I did not take my children to church. I did not do what God would have been pleased with when he said for me to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I didn't do it. So who's to blame? And I'm not talking about making the children of God. God will take care of that. But I should have took them to church. We should have, every one of us that has children and has raised up children in a household, it was our obligation according to what God says. That's God's will. And we're failing. We're not doing God's will. I'll say this, and I'll say it forever. Probably the biggest reason that our church is diminishing and going away is for our failure to edify and to preach the gospel, all the gospel to those in our hearing, those that comes. We fail to go out and to invite. And look, there's nothing wrong with inviting. I see many, many times in the scriptures when one went because they had a personal appearance, if you will, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and a crowd come. You know, on the day of Pentecost, I thought about so many times of what happens when people comes together. When people come together and they hear the gospel, they hear the good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The day of Pentecost. And you know why everybody came together? You know, didn't nobody go out and advertise through the town that there's going to be a preaching tomorrow, the gospel is going to be preached, Peter's going to preach one of his greatest sermons that ever preached? That wasn't advertised, that wasn't talked about. The people come because it was something crazy going on, something they didn't understand. People were talking in all kinds of languages and all kinds of funny things was going on. And all the scriptures tells us is that when this, you know, made like they were drunk in the way they were acting in the church and so forth. You know, sometimes it might be good if we acted a little bit like that, because so much times we sat asleep or like real sad and like, you know, let's hurry up and get this over and let me out of here.
Yeah.
We ought to be excited. We ought to be not just because there they were pricked in the heart on that day. We ought to be pricked in the heart every time we come together. Every time we hear God's word, we hear His message, we ought to be pricked in the heart. We ought to be encouraged to go out and do as the Lord said. Be about our Father's business. Be concerned about the kingdom that He's given us here in this world for us to live in, to enjoy here in this life. You know, there's no place. I've said this and I'll say it again and I've said that again. There ain't a sweeter thing in my mind that I enjoy seeing anymore. And I love to go and I love to see the Lord's people in the church. But to see a husband and a wife and all of their family of children sitting in the church. Beautiful, beautiful. And that's the way it should be. And I know that has hindered, that has emptied the seats in the old Baptist church. Because when I went to church in my younger days, and that was a long, long time ago now, there was no children in the church. No children in the church. Just a bunch of old folks, and now the only old folks there is me. The children wasn't taken to church. The children didn't understand church. To be honest with you, when I talk to some of the younger generations of members that was members of the church there where I belong now, you get statements from them of, there was nothing there for the children, you know, so they didn't take them. It was everything there for them that they should have.
Amen.
You know, I run into this little thing, and I'm not going to call no names, and this is terrible. When a little bitty Bible school kid, that they today is Bible school time all through the country, and you're going to church, and this boy I know about, and he made some statement about this little boy. He was giving him some lessons about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's all backwards. He's the one that ought to be giving the little boy some lessons about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's backwards. It's backwards. But the problem with that, I find, is you can teach a little bitty feller anything you want to. You can teach him that cows fly, that mouses talk. you can teach him and he'll believe almost anything you teach him. And he will. But will he continue with it? Will he stay with it? Will he forever stand for that which he picked up in these Bible school lessons? And you know, it's a funny world that we live in today. And as I read and look at God's word, I look at Paul's day and time that he was establishing churches and going about and preaching the gospel. Gospel being given to him, the messages of grace and all that we have today being given to, inspired directly to Paul. It didn't have a Bible. It didn't have the King James Version that we have written out today. And all that Paul did and preached and taught, all of the mistakes that was made, all of the things that was going on in the church, that in the early days of the church, that wasn't right, wasn't according to God's will. And we find these given to us for our learning, for our teaching, for us to steer us clear of those mistakes and errors. You know, I hear Paul talking to Timothy in one of the books of Timothy in a statement that we ought to all take home with us and keep in mind at all times. And you know, if you listen and you've read and you understand Timothy, always seemed like just a top-notch young man that was called to preach and was somewhat under Paul's wing, Paul teaching him, telling him to teach others that they might be able to preach the same things that Timothy preached. But you know, somewhere there, in, if you will, most all that Paul was telling Timothy, he put it in a few short words, that we would know how, that he would know how to behave himself in the church of the living God, that he would know. If we had have done that, if the old Baptist, if we would have learned that, if we would have took a hold of that and made effort years ago when the churches were full, if we'd have took a hold of that and learned how to behave ourselves in the church, that's God's will, that we behave ourselves in the church. And I tell you, and I believe in the God that said, let there be light, that created this universe. I believe in it with all my heart, I hope and pray. If we do what he has said that we should do here in this kingdom, he'll bless it. He'll bless it.
Amen.
God is not going to sit by, you know, we're going to reap what we sow. And if we followed God's will, if we made every effort that we could, if I did, and if all of us made every effort that we could to satisfy and try to walk daily with our brothers and sisters and with the God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he'll bless. I promise you, he's promised he will. He says, plain as can be, if we diligently seek him, trust in him as the head of the church, not somebody that's making $1 million a year to oversee a bunch of people. Trust in him as the head of the church and follow the best that we can and pray that when we be for his help, and surely he'll help us to stay in his will when it's for his praise, for his glory, and for his honor. He'll bless. He's promised that he would diligently reward those that diligently seek him. And I'm going to get out of the way, and I want to hear these other brothers preach, and I always like to encourage the Lord's people to read the scriptures, They wrote to you. They're not just wrote to Brother Robert and Brother Gary and to somebody to study and to preach. They wrote to every last one of us. And if you only just hear and use the part you probably hear preached from the preacher, you're going to miss a lot. I ask you to read, you know, the book of Ephesians, wonderful chapter, book in the Bible. So much in it. So much wonderful words in it, words of encouragement, words of God's grace, God's free grace, and so forth. And when Paul gets to the end of it, and I ask you to read the last two chapters, especially the fifth chapter. And he starts off the fifth chapter, and I'm going to read this first verse, and I'm going to get out of the way. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And this whole chapter, if you will, I believe gives us a pattern of how we ought to walk and how we ought to do to a great extent in this life. And if we could just fulfill probably some of them, a few of them, and I know I don't, to the extent that I should. God is pleased with us. He's pleased with us. He'll bless us. You're blessed. We're all blessed when we try to live and do according to God's will. You know, I see this so often time and even in family and friends. And one of the greatest blessings that I always have to back up when I say greatest blessing, because the greatest blessings is beyond my imagination, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest blessing. But a great blessing to us is to be able to forgive a brother and a sister. And I promise you, if you can do that, God will bless you. He'll bless you. You know, you said there, it's always been quite a statement when the Lord taught the apostles how to pray, a sample prayer there. And he made mention of forgiving your brother and sisters of their trespasses. And he said, if you don't do this, neither will my Father forgive you. Quite a statement. And all the reason in the world why we should forgive. Forgive. You know, it's just when we don't forgive one another, we just got two more miserable people in this country. It don't make any sense. But it's still the thing that I do. I can't get away from it. I'm not like I used to be. I have been mad enough sometimes that I didn't speak to certain people for a week or 2 weeks or maybe even longer than that. But whether the Lord blessed me or what happened, it went away to a certain extent. I say this to you today. I love all of y'all. I love all the Lord's people everywhere. I don't know anybody that I hate or wish no harm upon. I just hope and pray that the Lord would continue and bless us, bless His people here in this world, bless this nation to turn back to Him. You know, as long as we go this way, you read in there, in the chapter in Ephesians, Paul, in that day and time, and I say to you that I believe in my understanding that there's things going on today that I don't even read about in the Scriptures. I don't know what Paul would have said about some of the things that we are making legal and okay to do. I don't think it's in the Scriptures, but he makes some statements in there about some things and some things that we do that says we shall not inherit the kingdom of God if we dwell in them and don't repent from them and change. And that's the thing that we find hard in this day and time. We people confessing that they are Christians and followers of Lord Jesus Christ and living in things that, in my mind, according to the Scriptures, is an abomination to God. Can I do that? Can you do that? You know, Paul says a whole list of things there that if you're guilty, if you're in that and haven't repented, that you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. God bless you and keep you and make it out of your way.
Amazing.